Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. On today's show, we're taking a look at a new law in the city of Los Angeles that has been recently amended, called SB 8. The new rule states that no new development can take place that demolishes housing, whether occupied or vacant, unless replacement housing is constructed that complies with a bunch of restrictions. That proposed housing development has to replace all existing or demolished protected units. And protected units are those residential dwelling units that are or were there in the prior 5 years to the owner's application. The application of a replacement unit is subject to a recorded covenant. It's a law or an ordinance that restricts rents to levels affordable to persons or families of lower or very low income. And number two, it's subject to any form of rent or price controls. And third, it's got to be occupied by lower or very low income households. All of the occupants of protected units being displaced by the project have the right to remain in the units until 6 months before the start of construction, with proper notice and subject to relocation assistance. However, all lower-income household occupants of the protected units are also entitled to those relocation benefits and the right of first refusal, that is, a right to return to a comparable unit at the new project once the project's complete. And if at the time of lease-up or sale, a comparable unit should be open to the returning occupant, and it has to be at an affordable rent, or if it's for sale, at an affordable housing cost. The owner has to provide the comparable unit at an affordable rent or an affordable housing cost. That provision does not apply to a development project that consists of a single-family home, where on the site of the single-family home, that house is demolished and that housing development consists of 100% low-income units. Now, even in a place like Los Angeles, where incomes are high generally, the definition of affordable and very affordable follows the HUD definition, in which affordable rents are not to exceed 30% of household income, but for affordable, it's 80% of the area median income. And then very affordable units are calculated at 30% of 30% of area median income. And these numbers vary by zip code. So for example, in Bel Air or Brentwood, the area median income is $143,000 a year. An affordable unit would be priced at $2,860 a month, and a very affordable unit in that neighborhood would be priced at $1,042 per month. But in Southeast Los Angeles and in University Park, the area median income is $33,222. A very affordable unit would be priced at $249 a month. And needless to say, there's no economic incentive for anyone to ever invest in that area with the presence of this new regulation. Yes, the existing residents are protected from being evicted for the new development, but the reality is that they're now prisoners to these slums, an unintended consequence of a well-intentioned screw-up of legislation. You see, the solution to high prices is high prices. High prices attract additional supply into the market, and once the additional supply in excess of demand hits the market, prices fall until a new equilibrium is found. There's no private sector solution to zero income. You simply can't compel investors to make investments that are guaranteed to lose money. The investor simply won't make the investment. It makes no sense. You can ask investors to pay a tax as a percentage of profits towards housing for the poor, and that would align developer interests and government interests. By taxing a project at the front end, eliminating profits entirely, that acts as a complete disincentive. In that second scenario, developers and governments are at odds with one another. When you create the incentive, you determine the outcome. And right now, the incentive is to invest in those areas with the highest median income, which means bringing more investment into the highest priced areas, further widening the economic divide rather than narrowing it. The problem is with politicians who don't understand the very basic relationships in economics, and in so doing, create artificial constraints that amplify the very thing they're trying to prevent. In a world that's an all-you-can-eat buffet of opportunity, there's nothing that compels an investor to choose Los Angeles over, say, Dallas. Money will follow the path of least resistance, and money will chase yield. When investors can't see a viable path to accomplish the social objective of affordable housing, they won't build it. It's as simple as that. You cannot punish investors into investing. It's not how it works. You can only create incentives to invest. When interest rates were low at, say, 0.5% for U.S. Treasuries, you didn't see a huge lineup from the rank-and-file population for Treasury bills. Now that they're pricing above 4%, we see a massive outflow of cash from banks into T-bills. That's because there's an incentive. It's like Charlie Munger from Berkshire Hathaway says, "Show me the incentive and I'll show you the outcome." As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.